Well, let's pray. Father, we do thank you just for the time that we've been able to worship you this morning. And we pray now that as we turn to your word in these times of uncertainty, Lord, that you would just calm our hearts and our minds and that we'd be able to be receptive for what you have for us this morning. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I have to say this is taking some getting used to. I think I saw a post on Facebook the other day and it says, "And just like that, your pastor became a televangelist." And to be honest with you, it's a little strange. It's a little weird not having anyone here in the auditorium. A congregation of four is a little different to preach through than when all of you are here and present. But we are going to try to get through this morning and how many ever weeks to come that God puts us through this time. But as I was thinking about this morning and really the next few weeks, believe it or not, we're going to be entering into Easter. And I really pray that we could be together for Easter, but it's really looking a little uncertain at this time. But I was thinking about today, and you know, as you watch the news right now, it's quite depressing. The number of those tested positive for COVID-19 grows each and every day. The number in our county grows each and every day, and I've even listened to the news from time to time, and they've interviewed psychologists, and they say this is a very stressful time, more so than any other situation, because even as a hurricane rolls into southwest Florida, we know the storm is coming ahead of time. We know that it will only last for so long, and then it'll be over, and we clean up afterwards, and life returns to normal within a few months and maybe at a year at the most, but the immediate danger is over within a very short time. But with this virus, it's uncertain. There's an uncertainty of, will I get it? Will I be one of the 80% that has a slight cough and fever, or will I end up needing the ICU? There's the uncertainty of, how long will this last? How long will we be watching our church service online and not be able to be there together? And think about it, there's also a lot of other tragic events that are taking place amongst us. There are still people who are dealing with daily struggles, people who are dealing with cancer, people who are dealing with financial struggles. And financially, maybe they've been told they can't work, or their stocks have lost thousands of dollars over the past few weeks, and they've dealt with the news that they've been laid off. I was just talking to a friend yesterday, and he was told that he was laid off, and they didn't know when they were going to call him back because business was so slow at this time. And I think about that, the tendency to happen, and really I think what we see taking place and around us in the world today is people are scared. There's a lot of fear. Fear of the unknown. Fear of what might happen. And I think think about us as Christians. We should be different. Yes, we should be concerned. No, we shouldn't go out and lick doorknobs and say God will protect us. That would be foolish. But yet, we should not be afraid of the circumstances that are taking place in our lives right now. This morning, we're going to look at a very familiar passage. We're going to look at Psalm 23. And it's my prayer as we look at this passage, we'll see that there is no reason to be afraid. That we will see that as Christians, fear should not be part of who we are in Jesus Christ. If you take a moment this morning, I pray that you have Bibles as you are there at home, and I pray that you would open them up to Psalm 23 as we look at this passage. And as we look at verse 1 of Psalm 23, and again, it's a very familiar passage to many of us. But as we look at verse 1, I would say the most important thing to overcoming our fears is to fully trust God. In verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd." As I was studying for this passage this week, one of the commentaries pointed out the importance of a very small word in this first phrase. And that is the word "my." You know, David is claiming, "God is my shepherd." And as you look in your Bibles this morning, you'll see that the word "Lord" is in all capital letters, depending on your translation. And some translations may use the word Yahweh, but the significance here is, As David is claiming, the God, the one and only true God, the covenant-keeping God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he is the God who I call my shepherd. And it's clear that David is writing figuratively. David knew what it was to be a shepherd. He grew up being a shepherd. He grew up out in the fields caring for sheep. And from what I understand, sheep are really dumb. You know, they are in constant need of care. They have no way of protecting themselves. They're really not capable of searching out and finding food. They're not capable of protecting themselves. They really have no way of defending themselves. And if you think about it this morning, you know, there's a lot of animals that live out in the wild, but you don't see too many sheep just living out in the wild on their own. You may be thinking, well, why, I mean, we're talking about God being our shepherd. Why are you spending so much time or even spending any time talking about how stupid sheep are? And I believe one of the reasons we need to understand the helplessness of a lamb and sheep is simply to understand that if we're going to allow God to be our shepherd, then we need to be sheep. We need to humble ourselves. We need to be willing to give up control. Boy, that's not an easy task. We like to be in control. We like to think that we can make a difference. We like to think that we can figure out a solution to the problem. In fact, a phrase that's been used a lot on TV lately as we watch the different people speak and as the president will give his little speech from time to time over the week, I believe I've heard it said, you know, the phrase, we got this. And the reality is we have a lot of very intelligent people in this world. We have all kinds of doctors. We have the CDC that's trying to help protect us and figure out the situation. But so far, they don't seem to have it under control. And although they put in all these kinds of quarantines and social distancing and all these new phrases that weren't even common or popular just a few weeks ago, this virus still isn't contained. And we've gone to great extents. We've closed the borders. We've closed major attractions. The numbers still are on the rise. As a result, a lot of people are afraid. The question is, what if we allow God to be our shepherd? What if we turn to Him? What if we stop trying to figure it out on our own? And it may not only be just in the situation of the virus that is at hand today. Maybe it's a coworker who's constantly under your skin, or a boss who will not get off of your back, or a health concern. You know, and I think David understood this completely. I mean, there was a couple occasions as you study out David's life where he was on the run. He was fearing for his life. Early on, before he was king, he was pursued by King Saul. Saul was trying to kill David. He was sending people out to find him. He wanted him dead. Later on in his life, David's son Solomon would try to overthrow David as king. Absalom had turned against his own father, was striving to gain the throne for himself. And many believe that it was during this time of his trouble with Absalom that David wrote this psalm. A time when everything seemed to be slipping through David's fingers, when things seemed to be at their very worst, he wrote this psalm and said, "The Lord is my shepherd." Folks, I can tell you this morning, whatever the situation is, God's got this. He's there for us. He wants to lead us. He wants to be our shepherd. The question we have to deal with is, are we willing to be sheep? What if instead of trying to figure it out on our own, we simply placed our trust in God? What if we spent as much time as we do washing our hands and making sure that we don't touch our face in prayer? Reality is, we serve a covenant-keeping God, a God who will keep His promises. For that reason, we can trust Him to lead us through the events of the day. We can trust Him to lead us through our health problem, our relationship problem. But in order to do this, again, we have to be sheep. We have to give up control. We have to humble ourselves. It's only when we do this that we can say, as David said in the psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd." But as we look at the second half of verse 1, I believe there's something else that happens when we trust God, and that is we find contentment. As David simply says, "I shall not want." When's the last time you uttered those words? And the reality is, we want all kinds of things. And before this pandemic hit, it might have been a different car, or a different house, or a new job, a better job. Right now, you may just want to be able to go out and sit down in a restaurant and enjoy a meal. You may want to turn on the television and not have to hear about COVID-19. You may want the isolation to end. You may want to be back together with us and in a church service and be able to hug and kiss those you love. Possible you want a certain health issue to go away. You just want to feel better. The reality is, we could all probably all say, "I want," and then leave a blank, and there would be something that we would fill into that spot. But if we fully trust God, our wants will disappear, and we can be content despite our circumstances. Again, I think of David's imagery of sheep. They follow the shepherd. They eat the grass and the food that is provided. I don't think a sheep ever thinks to itself, "This grass is okay, but I really wish it was organic grass. Or maybe if it were a different grass, I prefer it not to be genetically modified." And they don't look at other animals out in the pasture and a lot and think, "Boy, I sure wish I had what the horses have over there. Maybe I'd like to have some hay or whatever it is they're eating." I believe they're content with whatever the shepherd gives them. I think the same can be true for you and I. When we yield our lives to God, when we allow Him to be our shepherd, we can be content no matter what our circumstances. It doesn't mean it'll be easy. Doesn't mean we won't struggle. It simply means that we can trust God and we can rest in His plans for our lives. Now, I think about a song that was written back in the 80s, I think mid-80s, around 85, and I'm not even sure it ever aired across the country. It may have. It was a Christian song, and it was written by Steve Gardner. Steve and Maria Gardner were kind of local to where we were in Indiana. And I believe my wife even posted a link to it on Facebook in recent times. But the song was "Nothing Will Happen." And some of the lyrics go like this: "Nothing will happen to me today, nothing good or bad. Nothing will happen to me today without passing through the Father's hand." And I think about it, I think that David understood the truths of the lyrics to that song. He understood that nothing was going to happen to him, whether it was King Saul capturing or whether it was Absalom taking over the throne. David understood that it wasn't going to happen without passing through the Lord's hands. It wasn't going to happen without passing through the shepherd's hands. Church, we can trust our God. And it's when we trust Him that we can find contentment. As we continue on through this passage, we see that we can trust God for the provisions that we need in our life. Much like when we lived at home with our parents, you know, we trusted our parents for provisions. In fact, very few of us probably ever thought much about a roof over our head or where our next meal was going to come from or what we were going to wear, because mom and dad always tried to take care of those things and make sure that we had them. And it was as we trusted in our parents, we never had any concerns or worries. And I believe the same is true with God. And as we look at verse 2, we see that we can trust God to provide nourishment and rest. As verse 2, we read, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." We've all seen images from this passage. Sheep enjoying plush grass next to a peaceful stream of water. And I believe that's the image that David wanted his readers to grasp as he penned this psalm. But I think that how many times we mess this image up when we try to take control, when we try to do things in our own strength, when we worry, when we fret. Every time we try to fix the problems on our own, all of a sudden those quiet waters, that peaceful stream, becomes a turbulent storm. And I think we see a lot of this taking place in the world around us. People who are worried and concerned about food, concerned about their investments, concerned about the pandemic. The reality is, God has promised to take care of us. Now, last week, as we explored Matthew chapter 6 and part of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus would say, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Now, Jesus was referring to the basic needs, our needs for food and clothing. The bottom line is, we can trust God to take care of our needs. He will supply what we need. And it's as we trust in Him that we can have that peace within that is displayed in that picture of a sheep out in a green pasture next to a quiet stream of water. Then as we continue on in verse 3, I think we also see that God will take care of our spiritual needs. Verse 3, we read, "He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." The reality is, there are times when we get discouraged, times when we get depressed, times when we may wonder why God would allow certain things to happen. I have to believe David felt that way from time to time. Possibly when Saul was seeking to kill him, possibly when Absalom was trying to take over the throne. I have to wonder if there wasn't a time when David would say, "God, why are you allowing this to happen? I mean, I have seen your work. I've seen you work through me. I've been out in the field watching over sheep and killed wild animals with my bare hands. I was able to defeat a giant with a sling and a stone, and here I am running for my life. Why is this happening, God?" Maybe you're feeling that way today. You're sick of being isolated. You're sick of dealing with health issues. The list can go on and on. The reality is, there are times that we get discouraged, times that we get spiritually down. I had a seminary professor, and we ended up being friends over time, and every once in a while we'd have lunch or something, and I could almost guarantee you, even today, if I were to call him, pick up the phone and call him, within the midst of that conversation, he would throw out a question that he often would, and he would say, "How's the inner man?" And really, he's really asking, "How's your soul? How's your spiritual life? How are you doing?" Because life can be hard and discouraging, and sometimes we need to ask that question, "How is that inner man?" But the reality is, when we trust God, there can be restoration. He can bring us strength and encouragement when we need it and when we're down. Not only can He restore our soul, but He leads us in the path of righteousness. And I think about this. You know, often when we are down, we tend to make poor choices. We tend to look to others for answers instead of God. We begin to trust in others. We may begin to look to the doctors and their cures and to the government and how they can fix the problem. We get angry. We get bitter. We begin to lash out at others, not trusting God to lead us through. But the reality is, He will lead us through. He tells us the path of righteousness. In fact, in our very Bibles, we have the roadmap to that path. As we look to His Word, He gives us the direction to go. We have passages like Philippians 4:6, which tells us not to be anxious in anything. Philippians 4:13, Paul would say, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." In chapter 4, verse 19 of Philippians, he would say, "That God shall supply all your need according to your riches and glory through Christ Jesus." And says we trust in God, we can find encouragement, we can be obedient to His Word, and we can do what is right. And most importantly, we do it not so that we receive the glory, but here even in the Psalm, David says that for His name's sake. I don't know how many times I've said from this pulpit and other places where I preach, we have to remember that as people, it has never been and never will be about us. It's always about God. It's always about Him receiving the glory. And what we should strive to live a life of obedience so that He will receive the glory for His name's sake. He is the great shepherd. He is the one that will restore our soul and lead us in the paths of righteousness. As we look at verse 4, we see that God is there to protect us as well. And this is a verse that is often quoted. As it says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff comfort me." It's interesting, as I was studying for this, someone pointed out that David actually makes a transition in this verse. Up until then, he talks about the Lord in the third person. It's he. And then as he gets to verse 4, he changes it to first person. "Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." And really, it's this idea of an intimate relationship with God. And it's because of this intimate relationship, he trusts God to protect him. And I think about that for you and I today. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have an intimate relationship with God. And for those of us who put our trust in Jesus Christ, there is no need to fear death. And I'd have you notice something here as we look at this verse. Notice it does not say, "though I walk through the valley of death." It says, "though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." There's a difference there. The reality is, as you listen in this morning, I could ask you the question, how many of you are scared of a lion? Most of you would probably say, absolutely, they could shred me to pieces. But then I'd follow up, how many of you are scared of a shadow of a lion? Well, we all know that shadow can't hurt us. Really, this is the picture we have. The shadow of death is there. The reality is, unless the Lord returns, unless the rapture takes place, we're all going to face physical death someday. But there's nothing to be feared, because we can trust that God is with us. He has promised, once we trust in His Son, He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. We will be with Him for all eternity. In fact, the Bible tells us that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now think about this protection that He gives us. It's a spiritual protection. It's not a physical protection. There's no guarantee as Christians that we won't be sick and that we won't have health problems and we won't suffer. But we can be assured that we are protected from Satan and his schemes. I love the way Romans chapter 8 ends in verses 37 through 39. As we read, "know in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Folks, there is comfort in a personal relationship with God. He is there to protect us. We can rest assured that when we place our trust in Jesus Christ, that He will never leave us. We will be with Him forever. We can rest assured that someday our faith will become sight. And we will be in the presence of our Lord forever and ever. But we can also trust in God to provide us comfort. Not only does He provide, but He brings us comfort. In verse 5, we read, "Thou preparest a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over." And again here, I believe for us today, the presence of our enemies is the presence of spiritual powers, the presence of those who oppose us, Satan and his schemes. In the midst of that, God brings us comfort. You know, the table that David was probably writing about for the sheep was a special place that the shepherd would lead them to. Often it was a high summer range that the shepherd would prepare in advance for them to go to. He would go and spread minerals and salt on the ground and make sure that it was prepared for the sheep to have the best nutrients that they could have when they got there. Then the anointing of the head was a special mixture of oil that would keep the flies away from the sheep's head. This was all done to provide comfort for the sheep. And folks, this is what God does for us. I mean, David would conclude with this, "My cup overflows," and I believe David is saying, "I have been blessed beyond what I deserve. I've been blessed beyond measure. My cup overflows." I think of a conversation I just had a couple of weeks ago, as I'm part of the Council 10 for the Sunshine Baptist Fellowship, and we had to cancel a conference that we were going to do in April, and one of my old Bible professors was going to be the guest speaker, and he called up, and I saw his name on the caller ID, and I said, "Well, how's Pastor Don today?" And he says, "I'm blessed beyond what I deserve." I thought, wow. What an interesting statement. I says, "Yes, we are blessed beyond what we deserve, especially those who believe in Jesus Christ." He says, "Actually, everybody's blessed beyond what they deserve." And the reality is, lost or saved, if you're alive today, you're blessed beyond what you deserve. Because what do we all deserve? We've all sinned. We've all sinned against God. We deserve His wrath. We deserve eternity in hell. But I think about it, it's because of God's love, it's because of His grace, it's because of His sacrifice that those of us who have put our faith in Jesus Christ, we have been blessed beyond anything that we deserve. How often do we really think about that? How often do we think, as David wrote, that our cup overflows? Kind of goes hand in hand with that not being in want, right? It's only when we realize that we have everything that we need, that we begin to comprehend the many blessings that God has given to us. Then as we look at verse 6, the last verse of this psalm, we see that there's nothing that can separate us from God. As David would conclude by saying, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Depending on your translation, it may say goodness and love versus goodness and mercy. But notice it says, "will follow me all the days of my life." And I think this is a beautiful picture. It's almost as if David is saying, God's love and mercy, or His goodness and mercy, will pursue me all the days of my life. He says follow, but it's the idea, it's pursuing. No matter where he goes, that God's love pursues him. And the same is true for us. No matter where we go, no matter what we do, God's mercy, His love, His affection for us is pursuing us. It's unconditional. No matter what we do, it will be constantly pursuing us, constantly following us. You know, some of us think, well, yeah, but I've messed up pretty bad a couple of times. It's still there. It's still pursuing you. I mean, look at David's life. David, of all people, committed adultery, and not only did he commit adultery, he had Bathsheba's husband murdered to cover it up. And yet God continued to pursue David. He would send Nathan the prophet to confront David with his sin, so the restoration could take place. And I believe God still does that for us today. He uses His Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us and constantly pursue us so that we could be encouraged by His goodness and love and mercy for us. And as we look at the last phrase of this psalm, we read, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." As David makes this reference, it probably was not to with a thought of heaven in mind. It was probably in thought to an earthly tabernacle. The house of the Lord in the Old Testament always referred to the tabernacle, to the place where God's presence would rest in the Holy of Holies. As David really is holding the idea that he would always have access to God's presence. How much more is this true for you and I today? We're about to celebrate the Easter season. I think one of the most incredible events that took place, and you can't really put one above the other, but as Jesus breathed His last breath and as He died on the cross, one of the things that took place was the curtain in the temple was torn in two, granting access to all who would believe. And And the reality is, we have that assurance. We will always have access to God. In fact, in Hebrews, it says that we can go to Him boldly in our prayers. The reality is, once we put our trust and faith in Jesus Christ, we will never be separated from the presence of God. His Spirit dwells within us. And as I've said already, the moment we breathe our last breath, we enter into His presence. We can rest assured that we will be in the house of the Lord forever. We will be in His presence forever. The reality is, as you listen in today online, I don't know what your circumstances are. Maybe you've just been focused on what's going on in the world. You've become a little anxious. You've become a little fearful. And yes, we need to be concerned. But I'm here to tell you this morning, as we look at this passage in Scripture, we do not need to be afraid. I can assure you, God has got it. The question is, do you trust Him? Do you trust Him enough to be sheep? It's only when we stop trying to fix the problems on our own, it's only when we stop trying to look to others to fix the problems and trust God, that our fears will reside. And to be honest with you, Christians, we need to stand up and do this very thing, because we have a world that is living in panic right now, and they need to see some hope. I believe we're the ones that can deliver that hope. If they see that we have put our trust in a God and His Word and His promises, and then we're not worried about what happens to us here on this earth, because we know that God has something far greater for us when this life is over and when we enter into His presence. Let's pray. Father, we thank You again for the opportunity we just had to be able to share Your Word and to be able to sing songs and hymns this morning unto You. And Lord, I pray that those who are listening in have been blessed. I pray that they've been challenged, and I pray that they will stand firm in their faith and trust in You. And pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.